John 12, 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the worship and the time that you've given us to greet each other and to show each other signs of your love and of your grace. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to just be together as the body of Christ. We ask now, O Lord, that you'll speak to our need of you, O Lord, through this word. Open our understanding, open our hearts, and open our minds to receive it. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture today brings us to the time right before the Passover, right before the time in which Jesus would go into Jerusalem to give himself for us. A lot of times we don't realize what happened right leading up to that week. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, stops at Lazarus' house for a dinner party. Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus is eating with a man that he raised from the dead. And everybody knows about it. And everybody's hearing about it. And everybody is retelling the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. The renown of Jesus was getting to every place, and people were just talking about him everywhere. And the scripture tells us in Luke 12, 19, that the Pharisees were very concerned about this. They said, "The whole world has gone after him. Everybody is talking about Jesus. Everybody wants to know about Jesus. We got to put a stop to this. We got to do something, or he's going to get too well known, and then we won't be able to stop him." They even wanted to kill Lazarus because they said, you know, we can't have this man running around telling people that he was raised from the dead. That gives Jesus too much power. So as we begin now on verse 20, we find that among those who came to the city of Jerusalem for the festival were some Greeks. These Greeks clearly believed in the God of the Jews. Why else would you come to a festival that was all about worshiping God for his deliverance of the people of Israel from bondage? They had come there because clearly they believed in God. And as they entered the city, you can almost imagine how they began to hear everybody talking about this man called Jesus. "Oh man, Jesus, that isn't that the guy that walked on water? No, I think you got somebody else in mind. This is the guy that like fed 5,000 people? No, the Jesus I'm talking about is the one who raised Lazarus from the dead." And somebody finally saying, "Hey, that's the same guy. That's the Jesus that we're talking about." And these Greek people that had come into town for this festival are hearing the things that are being said. And finally, one of them goes, we got to meet this guy. We have to go meet this guy. We want to know this Jesus. We want to talk to him. We want to ask him questions. We want to find out what he's about. And so the scripture says that they tracked down one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, and they said to him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, for most of us, that seems kind of odd. Why would you just go to one of Jesus' disciples to ask him to introduce you to Jesus? Why not just go straight to Jesus? Well, you have to remember who they are. They're Gentiles. They're Greeks. They're used to not being welcomed by Jews, even though they believed in God. They were used to coming to the city of Jerusalem to worship and not being allowed inside the temple courtyard, past the outside courtyard. They were used to being treated almost as second-class believers in God. And so they probably didn't dare to go straight to Jesus and ask to speak to him. They go to Philip and they say, we'd like to meet Jesus. Well, Philip went and found Andrew and said, what do I do? Got these Greek guys coming to me and saying they want to meet Jesus. What do we do? Why would Philip be concerned about bringing some Greek people before Jesus? Because earlier in the scripture, Jesus had had an encounter with a Canaanite woman. And that Canaanite woman was trying to get Jesus' attention. She wanted to know about Jesus. She wanted to hear from Jesus. She wanted to receive from Jesus. And Jesus had some very harsh words for her. He said to her that he had come for the children of Israel, that he had come for the nation, for the people that are called the Jews. He said, I came for them, and it's not right for me to give you what is theirs. And he even used some harsh words there. He said, it's not right for the dogs to get this. She says, yes, but even the dogs eat from the scraps that fall off the master's table. And in saying that, Jesus said that he had found in her incredible faith. But his initial reaction to her requesting his audience was not a good one. And so Philip and Andrew must have been going, you know, it was kind of not great with that Canaanite woman. Should we bring these Greeks before him? How is he going to react? Whatever they talked about, they finally decided, well, we just need to go and ask Jesus what he wants to do. So they came to Jesus and said, there's some Greek guys here. They want to come in. They want to see you. They want to talk to you. Jesus has this habit of when he's asked something, not always answering it directly. Have you noticed that? People will ask him a question and he'll answer the question with a question, or he'll go off talking about something else. And this happened to the disciples all the time. It must have been frustrating because they're like, Jesus, we just want to know if you want to see these Greek guys. But Jesus begins almost a monologue about how the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, and an explanation about how his death is not only imminent and about to happen, but it's necessary. He begins to tell them an illustration. He says, you know, if a grain falls into the earth and it dies, then it becomes fruitful. But if it just remains a grain, it doesn't bear much fruit. And I'm sure Philip and Andrew were looking at each other and going, did you ask him about grain? I didn't ask him about grain. I want to know about these Greek guys that are waiting outside. I want to know what to do with them. I don't understand this. There are so many times that the disciples probably said to each other, did you get him? No. Did you get him? No. I don't know what he's talking about. I think this was one of those times. Jesus was trying to explain to them that it had come the time for him to give himself up, to die for them, to give his life on the cross. He wanted them to understand that this was the time that he had come for. All that he had prepared for, all that he had done in ministry was leading up to this precise time. And then he gives them something to think about. He says to them, those who love their lives will lose them, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And I'm sure they scratched their heads at that one too. What do you mean we have to hate our lives in order to gain eternal life? Jesus was trying to explain to them that the only way to get to eternal life was to let go of this one. To not hold on to the things of this world, but to look for the things of above. To be willing to lay down one's life instead of keep it. He was trying to let them know he was about to go to the cross, which was the place where God's love would be on display, where sacrifice would be magnified. But it was a difficult place to go to, the cross. It would be the place where Jesus would be most alone, because every single one of his disciples and followers would walk away from him. They would turn their backs on him after he got arrested. Even Peter, who swore to give his life for him, would deny him three times. Jesus knew all of this going in. And Jesus tells them, if you really want to come after me, you've got to go where I'm going, but you can't. Because where I'm going is the cross. And none of you is ready to go there with me. So you see, Jesus was trying to prepare them for what was coming. But at the same time, he knew that this would be a difficult time, not just for him, but for every one of his disciples. It's great to say, Jesus, I'll go with you wherever you go. Wherever you are, I want to be there. Until Jesus says, oh, I'm going to be at the cross. I'll see you there. Let's rethink this, Jesus. Can we meet at the coffee house? Can we meet in the supermarket? Meet me in my living room, but let's not do the cross. Let's not do that part. I don't want to meet there. You see, nothing of what Jesus was getting ready to do was easy. Sometimes I think people don't realize the gravity of the cross, the seriousness of what he did for us and what he was willing to go through in order to give his life for us. It was a harsh time. And Jesus finally tells his disciples, my soul is troubled. He knew that what was coming was terrible. He didn't think of the cross, oh, yay, I'm going to the cross. It was more, I am going to the cross. There was a seriousness about what he was about to do. And then he asked the question, what should I say about this? Should I ask the Father to save me from this hour? Should I tell the Father to change the plans? And before you can even come up with an answer to that question, Jesus gives you the answer, no. It's a resounding no. This is why I came. This is the plan, and it's been the plan all along. This is exactly why I came into the world. Can you imagine Jesus going through all the trouble of being born a human being, going through all the things that a human being goes through, and living his life, preparing for this moment, only to go, you know what, let's change the plan at the end. Jesus was like, no, we've got to see this through. We've got to continue with the plan, even though it's going to be hard. How many times does God invite us to not give up on what he's calling us to do, even if it's going to be hard? And he says, don't quit on it. Don't give up on it. Keep going. It's going to be worth it. Jesus finally states, Father, glorify your name. Use this for your glory, even though it's going to be horrible, even though it's going to be difficult, even though it's going to be painful, even though it's going to be lonely on that cross. Use this to glorify your name. The scripture tells us that at that moment, a voice came from heaven and asserted, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And it was so loud that the people thought it was thundering or lightning, that there was some kind of thunder going on. Some people said, hey, an angel has just spoken to him. And Jesus looked at them and said, you know, this voice didn't come for my sake, it came for yours. It came so that you would know that me and the Father are on the same page, that we are one in this, that we have planned this together, that this is the plan, and that we are in sync in doing this and going through with the cross. Neither Jesus nor the Father had to ask the other, are we still good on the plan? Are we still going forward? They didn't have to do that. God the Father and God the Son were together. They knew that this was the way. And God simply affirmed that he would use the cross to glorify his name. Once again, Jesus makes reference to time. Now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now is the time when the ruler of this world will be driven out. Now is the time for all of this to come to pass. But clearly there's a little subtext here. But this is not the end of the story. There's more to come. You know, one of the great things about this time of the year is that as we look towards the cross, we know the cross is not the end of the story. The joy of Holy Week is knowing that as surely as the crucifixion comes, so does the resurrection. And that where there seemed to be defeat, there will once again be victory. Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And John tells us that he said this so that everybody would know how he was going to die, that he was going to be crucified. But when you hear that, if you know the Old Testament stories that we have been through with Moses and the serpents, and the serpent was made of bronze and put on a pole for everybody to look at if they were bitten so they would be saved. You can't help but think of that story immediately when you hear Jesus' words. What he was saying is just as people in the Old Testament had to look up at that bronze serpent and have faith that God would save them, when I am raised up on that cross, people will see that as a sign of the way of salvation. Even today, we carry a cross as a sign of salvation. We see it everywhere as a sign of what God has done to show us his love. We use it as a reminder that there was a price paid for our sins, and we are drawn to that cross. There's an old hymn that says, oh, how I love that old rugged cross. We would never sing, oh, how I love that electric chair. A symbol of death. A symbol of death. Yet when we look at the cross, we don't see a symbol of death. We see a symbol of hope. We see a symbol of God's love and God's plan. We see what God had to do to pay the sins of the world and offer us forgiveness and grace. And therefore the cross has become treasured by us because it is where we receive forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. You know, even on the cross, as I mentioned last week, Jesus offered paradise to a man crucified right next to him. Even at the cross, Jesus was offering hope to others as he himself was dying in agony. How many of us would have even taken the time to talk to our neighboring cross if we were hanging there? How many of us would have gone, dude, we're both dying here. Just can it. You know, we are crucified here. Just let's not talk. Let's just make it through this to the other side. But not Jesus. Even as he is there in agony, he offers hope to the man dying on the cross next to him. We love the cross, not for its horrific and deadly nature, but for what it has come to mean for all those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Forever, the cross will help draw people to God. Jesus did that. He made it into that symbol where before that it was just a place to die. Now it's a place where we come to live. Now it's a place where we come to hope. And now it's a place where we know just how much God loves us. Scripture tells us that Jesus invites us to take up our cross and follow him, to be willing to lay down our lives as he did. But even today, people don't want to do that because nobody likes to go to the cross. The cross is a place of sacrifice, of self-denial. It's a place where we have to lay down our will to take up his. It's a place where we have to be exposed for our sins. And it's a place where we have to hate our lives to take on his. And that's an uncomfortable place to be. I don't care who you are. That's an uncomfortable place to be. But that is the call that Jesus makes in our lives. Today, there are still people that are seeking Jesus just as those Greeks were. They want to meet the Jesus that raised Lazarus. They want to meet the Jesus that walked on water and the one who fed the 5,000. They're not too sure about the Jesus who died on a cross. They're not too sure about the one who wasn't willing to fight back but turned the other cheek. They're not sure about the Jesus that said, forgive people 7 times 70. It's our job to share with them the full Jesus. The Jesus that doesn't just offer forgiveness and grace, but calls us into new life and invites us to give up ourselves to him. The one who died on the cross, not just to wipe away our sins, but to bring us into a new relationship with God. Now, I shared the illustration with the kids about being attracted to Jesus. And since you all like the children's time so much, I figured I'd bring it to your level now. Sometimes we think, I just can't bring anybody to Jesus. I don't have that power. I don't have that ability. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to invite somebody to church. I just can't do it. And we're right. You don't know how to do it. You don't have the right words. You don't know exactly what's going to call their attention to come and be in relationship with Jesus. But you must remember that when you go out, you don't do it alone. You take Jesus with you. And when Jesus goes with you, all of a sudden, you're able to do things that you couldn't do before. Where before you couldn't attract anybody, now Jesus is flowing through you. And now Jesus is flowing through everybody that you're touching and they're touching. And the next thing you know is people are being drawn in. And people that maybe don't look the same, don't talk the same, don't even share the same values are finding Jesus interesting and they want to know more about the Jesus that you have met. And if you don't give up and you continue, Jesus uses you. He continues to use you. And people are drawn, not to you, but to Jesus who is in you. Jesus who is with you. Jesus who is for you. And Jesus who is for them. We can't forget by ourselves, I can't draw a single person into the kingdom of God. Not a single one. But with Jesus, if I let him flow through me, if I let him use me, if I open my mouth, he'll fill it. If I tell my story, he'll reveal things to people that they need to hear through it. And before you know it, there'll be somebody whose name is written in the book of life because you carried Jesus with you. And you told them about the power of the cross. I want you to remember that every single day. If you remember nothing else from the word that we have shared today, I want you to remember that you carry the power of Jesus with you. And Jesus will draw all people onto himself. That means he will use you to draw people onto himself. I pray that during this Holy Week, as we get ready for this special time, you'll take the opportunity that we've given you through some invitational flyers that have all the schedule for Easter to invite somebody to meet the Jesus that saved your life. That you will take those flyers and you will pray over them and say, Lord, who do you want me to give it to? What coworker, what friend, what family member, what person in my path during this week do you want me to tell that Jesus is my personal Savior and that I want them to meet him? And that you take that flyer and you hand it out. The result of the flyer is not your problem. Your task is to let God use you, to put it in their hands. That's it. Let God do the rest. Scripture tells us Jesus will draw all people onto himself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, because I know that there are people out there that want to meet Jesus. There are people that need to meet Jesus right now. There are people that are going through things that we don't even know or understand, that need to experience the redeeming power of the cross. Help us, O Lord, to be used by you. Help us to carry Jesus with us every single day, to tell people that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that Jesus can make a difference in their lives. Lord, use us. Use us as you see fit to reach those that need to hear about Jesus. And just help us to invite them to meet you. Help us bring them in to just meet the Jesus that gave his life for them. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The altar is open. If you want to pray about it, if you need some time to just be with the Lord, come right here between the green and pray on your own and just ask the Lord to lead you, inviting somebody. If you want us to pray for you, come anywhere else in the altar, and somebody in the prayer team will be glad to come and pray with you. Let's continue to worship as we do that.